Never a dull moment around here. Not saying it causes gray hair, but I am only 28. That was great. We really appreciate y'all bringing that for us this morning. So I've entitled this morning's message, Bless You. I want to go back to part of that portion of what Sarah just read, Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Let's pray. Father, your word has eternal meaning. And while its presence on the page in black and white or red is unchanging, what it does when it reaches our spirit is constantly changing. And we give you thanks for this living, breathing word this morning in Jesus. And we pray, God, that you would speak even with the human voice, if necessary, to communicate to each of our hearts today the deep riches in the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. We hear bless your heart in the South almost every day. We hear it, bless your heart, bless your heart. Bless his heart. We it's all in the inflection, right? It's all in the way it's said. It's all in the way it's meant. It can be a term that means extreme blessing, but most often it's a couched derision and, you know, couched in politeness. We know in the South we're not especially just good people, but we're polite. And it keeps from being ugly, right? To use more Southern isms. Don't be ugly. You remember, what was the movie, the animated movie where it said, if you can't say nothing nice. That was Bambi, wasn't it? Yeah. Then Bambi's mother. Mothers are always saying the funniest things. Joy's thing, and I debated whether to say the word joy in my sermon today, how I was going to have to deal with that all day or not. But you know, her kids aren't here with her, and she needs somebody to just make fun of her for an hour. No, the Joy's thing is bless. And I listen carefully when Joy says bless, because she didn't always say that. It's a more recent phrase. And I've been, you know, I listen when she says something. You better know what it was she said. And she'll say bless. And usually she says it when it's complicated or even saddening or disappointing something. And I think bless has become her way, without me directly asking her what she means, of saying, you know, somehow God bless that. You know, I can't say anything good about it. There's not much that comes to mind right now that makes me want to say something good. So bless. The word bless can mean a lot of things in the vernacular, but when we say bless in Scripture, we're talking about something that only God can authorize. Blessing is invoking. When we bless, we invoke. We invoke divine favor. If we come in a Christian context, of course, we mean God bless. God bless you. God bless his or her heart. When we ask God's blessing, we ask God to bring favor. When we ask God's blessing, we are consecrating something, a guitar, an altar, an object, a book bag. We consecrate it and bless it to use. We ask God to lend favor. We ask God to cause prosperity and not harm, to create some happiness or joy, or to bestow blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. We all know what our blessings are. And the word blessing implies they come from God. To express a blessing is to invoke God, to ask his favor. To be blessed means that God is favoring me. The source of my blessing is God. In the scriptures, there's a kind of blessing and a kind of reverse blessing. In the Hebrew, I don't know, I didn't make good enough grades to understand it, but I know that there's reverse blessing, which is damnation.
Call it a curse.
Don't be taking my sermon. That's on the next page, Ernie. I had to skip that page. The positive and negative blessings are related. The book of Deuteronomy speaks about obedience to the law and how blessing will come if it's followed and how negative blessing will come if not. One of the first instances in the Bible is in Genesis. I am about to choke up here. Where's my water? Excuse me. I'm going to have to stay in a house on Saturday so I can preach on Sunday.
Pray, do you need a
coffee? No, Ernie. I just need about 10 more minutes, Lord. Abram is ordered by God to leave his country. It's one of the first places where we hear God say, I will bless you. And Abram knew what he meant. I'll make your name great. And we're blessed with so many things, right? We bless our food, a meal blessing, acknowledging to God that we know where the food came from and it just as easily could not have been present. And so we bless the food. We think of food as a gift from God. But we also bless the non-material things. There's so many non-tangible things in our life that are blessings. We can see our family. Someone said earlier, I'm happy to be, we have a family church. We see that as a blessing. We rank them in blessing as blessings above material things. Maybe someone here helped you grow spiritually today. We know that being a mother in our lives doesn't necessarily mean biological connection. But we have blessings. We have people here today who are blessings. We have people here for you when you just need to talk. When they can perceive that tears are just below the surface, and so the conversation treads lightly along the edge just to let you know they'll hear you if you need to. But maybe just to make you laugh or grin or smile. We have the blessings of life, liberty, and salvation. We have the blessings of eternal life. In one story in the scriptures, Jesus is with Mary and Martha, and he tells them that he is a blessing. He says, Martha, Martha, Mary has figured out the blessing is here with you. Sit down a while. Take a load off. I am your blessing. In so many words. Jesus with us was God with us, blessing us. In our daily lives, God is blessing us by being with us. We are blessed by spending more time with God. And we say we should do more of it because it's such a blessing in prayer. I want to point out this scripture, though, today very specifically, something that is just remarkable. In the commentary that's over 200 years old, Wesley made a point of making a statement about it. It's verse 51. Well, verse 50 says, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Verse 51, while he blessed them, he parted from them. He didn't finish his blessing. It's not like, you know, God cut him off. It wasn't like the angel said, drop the curtain too soon. It wasn't like he forgot the next words and so exit stage right. It says, while he was blessing them, he parted from them. Yes, I have my presence, I am blessing you, but I am going to continue. My absence from you physically is not a removal of my blessing. And as he departed into heaven, he was continuing to bless. I thought, what a beautiful thought. All right, I'll skip that page because Ernie covered that part. And then look at the hands from the disciples' perspective as Jesus is departing. And I'm just thinking, because to me, I'm sorry, nails leave holes. Spikes leave big holes. The weight of your body for more than 6 hours produces quite a hole. Talk about a body piercing. But as he was revealing his hands to them in blessing, that maybe even the sunlight could shine through his hands, that the source of their blessing had been Jesus' greatest suffering. And as Paul identifies for us over and over again in Scripture, we can receive blessing by suffering too with him. The nails in his hands showed the price of our blessing. You get it? What it costs to be blessed. It's a price you can't pay. Jesus does. Spurgeon said this, if he has blessed you, you shall be blessed. For there is no power in heaven or earth or hell that can reverse the blessing which he gives. How about that? If you're blessed, Ajax won't take it off. If you're blessed today, how does it dissipate? Where does it go? How does it dissolve in your life? If you're feeling blessed this morning, why will it be gone this evening? How does that happen when God who blesses is not a cheap giver? Couldn't figure out a correct way to say something. I'm sorry. Why don't we reflect this week on the many ways we're blessed? When I think about the mothers in this congregation and others that I've served, who shared very privately with me, I want you to be my prayer partner. There are a few people who know. And I'm sharing with you that my son, my daughter, is not saved. They don't know Christ yet. But I'm praying, and I know that my prayers are being heard, and I believe upon belief that they someday will be saved. I've had those same kids say to me, don't tell mom, but I'm not really a Christian. I wanted to say, your mom knows you're not a Christian. She knows. But the power of a praying mother blessing a life that does not know that's being blessed, invoking God's blessing and protection and favor on a person who is prodigal. A note from a daughter that says, Happy Mother's Day. You were right about everything. Is a testimony to the fact that just the plain idiocy of youth. So often I hear so much of what I hear today through the lens of, well, 40 years from now, wish I could call them and say, what's your opinion now? The truth is, the elderly, the seniors, other generations are being judged by a very immature set of people through an immature and very materialistic set of values. But with passage of time, as smartness turns into wisdom, many mothers' wisdom will be acknowledged by prodigal Tom, Dick, Harry, Susan, Shana, Beth. When you are being blessed and you're honest, you know it. The power of a praying mother, bless me. And my mom would say, and I had a smart answer. I can't tell you the number of times she said, Chris, it bothers me, the people, those boys you're going out with. Well, that was my teammates. That was my crew, man. And she was absolutely right. She said, I'm worried about the influence they're having on you. And I'd say right back in my self-righteous way, I'm having a good influence on them. Not. I'm lucky I'm alive today. I'm blessed that I'm alive. And I got through that time. But mothers, let me just encourage you from God today about the power of blessing not just others, but especially your children and your grandchildren. Of invoking blessing. Of departing blessing. Of blessing that is a going away blessing that doesn't stop. That even in the car, out the driveway, the blessing continues as a way of saying, I don't have to be physically present. God's protective blessing is with you because I'm praying. And if no one else is praying for you, know I always will be. The tears on the altar of the prodigal whose mother long ago since passed, thanking God and feeling blessed and saying to God, Lord, I know the prayers of my mother brought me here. In Methodism, we call it prevenient grace. The grace of God that was coming to us before we could appreciate it or acknowledge it. The grace of God that's being brought, showered upon us by the prayers of others, by the church, and by the saints in heaven, and by the angels. While we go around with lipstick on a pig in our life. And then there's the power to be a blessing like that. When you say bless, to mean it. When there's maybe not so many good things to say. When a situation, a long-ranging situation in your life just hasn't ended, to say bless it. God, come and bring your favor into this however you can, because they're blind or distracted or very, very smart. I have to admit, I don't like it when I hear somebody say, bless your heart. But I have to also admit that, put the right way, it'd be a heck of a thing to have somebody say to you sometimes, bless your heart. May God richly bless your heart. Well, our thoughts of our mothers always bring conflicting emotions. While they're alive, we know just too much to let them get away with being a mother to us. As we become adults, we punish them every day for loving us with insult, resistance, arrogance. And then there's just that one day of the year when we bless them enough to maybe go do one or two things they want to do. Today I'm going to ask you to bless the either honor your mother through blessing her or honor her memory by being a blessing. Honor all those prayers by becoming a blessing in flesh and blood. And then by being a Christian who understands the power of being blessed. That I am so blessed, I am going to bless someone else. And then there are long-suffering wives, Joy. And we have to be a blessing to them too. We have to understand that a mother's heart bears many burdens we are callous to, of which we give no thought. A mother's heart carries the hopes of her children, the dreams for her little girls, aspirations for her sons. The daily covering and protection of her husband. And then in late life, declining health, passage of time, a little bit more gray. The other day, Justin told me he was exactly 39 in his head. Is that right?
No.
How old are you? 37. I got it wrong. And then we sat there and listened to Boyce Nodine tell us, how old were you in your head, Boyce? 40?
In what?
I said, we were talking about the age of how old do we feel in our head, in our mind. And the point was, you know, a lot of time can do a lot of things to your body physically. But inside, you're going to remain essentially that person you grew up and became in your 30s, your 40s. What a blessing. And so from cradle to end to life again, our lives are filled with blessings that make you smile as one who is blessed. So let's just take some time now to reflect. Anne is going to play, and we'll just fill our hearts with gratitude over our many blessings, and then we'll conclude our service. And if today is a day that you need to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, if today is the day you finally come good on all your mama's prayers, then you raise your hand when you get down here and we'll pray. And it'll become an eternal reality of your blessing.